Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the pilot episode of Ring the Bell, a pro wrestling podcast. I am your host, of course, as I guess you'll get to know. This is Dilly. Find me on social media at This is Dilly. And yes, this is the pilot episode, the very first one. We are starting something new, starting a podcast just on wrestling. It's been quite a couple days, quite a couple months. Wrestling, it's never cold. There's always something going on. And, you know, these past couple weeks have proved it. I mean, it's been quite eventful starting off the new year, I would say. Lots of free agents from last year's firings in WWE have been causing quite a stir in wrestling, making their names known once again, maybe even under different names. So we're actually going to start the show with the Rumor Has It segment. I may be retitling this segment. That's just kind of the title I have for it for right now. It's essentially a segment we're going to be talking about news and rumors throughout the week. Obviously, we cannot cover everything, so I've picked a choice amount of things that I'd like to cover, some of which are news, as mentioned, and some of which are just rumors and speculation, which the wrestling business is absolutely full of. So we're going to start off with the news, the things we know for sure. So we've had a couple debuts recently, which is pretty exciting. Jungle Boy just debuted in New Japan Pro Wrestling Battle in the Valley. I don't watch New Japan, never really did watch New Japan. I've seen clips of Jungle Boy's appearance here. So he shows up in the ring, has an AEW contract in his hand, rips it up, and he is now a member of the New Japan Pro Wrestling roster. I'm assuming he's just going by Jack Perry. I don't know if it's been confirmed what his name is there yet, but I mean, why would you not go by Jack Perry? I don't believe he could go by Jungle Boy, even if he wanted to, because I feel like Tony Khan's probably got a good hand on that. But yeah, Jungle Boy's in New Japan. Who would have thunk it? I think he came out and he was calling himself a scapegoat, which is essentially someone who's blamed for all wrongdoings. So there's two ways you can look at this. You can look at this as a guy who's been through too much shit, too much stupid shit with AEW, which, I mean, a lot of people go through that. A lot of people leave AEW because of that. That definitely could be the case. Maybe he left. But we do know that AEW does have quite a good relationship with New Japan. This could very well be a work. I'm not going to say it's not. I'm not going to confirm or deny. Obviously, we can't. But I honestly am on the side that kind of thinks it might be a work. Obviously, we don't know for sure. We never will. Well, we might. They might do something at some point. But I think it's a work. I don't think he's actually gone from AEW. I think coming out and tearing up the AEW contract is just, you know, it's a flash. It looks good. It's a show. Is what it is. It could be real. Maybe he did come out and do that. But seeing as AEW has such a strong relationship with New Japan, I don't think that's the case. In any case, though, he is in New Japan. He has been challenged by one of the wrestlers over there. I don't remember their name right now. Not a big wrestler. Like, I've never heard of him, so I don't know. Maybe he's big over there. But yeah, Jungle Boy's over there. And in TNA, TNA is actually doing really good right now. I really wish it was available to watch, like, anywhere. I'm kind of upset, honestly, that there's, like, basically no way of watching TNA unless you have like Access TV, I think, and you don't get that in Canada. I don't know where I could go about watching TNA. I do want to watch it because they're revitalizing it. They brought back the name. I'm hearing rumors that they're bringing back the Six-Sided Ring. I think that'd be cool. I mean, it's definitely not practical, but it's a nice looking ring. Obviously, like CMLL and AAA, they use the six-sided rings as far as I know. I mean, it's not unseen in wrestling nowadays for a six-sided ring, but that's where TNA got their spark. Not their spark, but it's kind of like the, you know, one of the main things that set them aside from WWE back in the day. But yeah, TNA just had Hard to Kill. It was a pretty good show from all accounts. I haven't seen it. I'm probably going to end up watching it maybe legally, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it was a great show. Lots of cool matches on the card. Main event, I think it was Moose, and who the hell did Moose fight? I don't know. Like I said, I didn't see it. But two people showed up from WWE, former WWE wrestlers, I guess. So Ash by Elegance showed up at one point in the crowd. She used to be known as Dana Brooke, and now is going by Ash as Ash by Elegance. That is probably the stupidest indie name I've ever heard. She's going for Toni Storm's gimmick, which is... yikes. She could have done, like, anything. You know, she could have done her bodybuilding thing, because that was so entertaining when she did it before. I don't know why she wouldn't stick to that, and why she just had to go and steal Toni Storm's timeless gimmick. Who's to say, honestly? But that's not what we're here to talk about, what that happened at TNA Hard to Kill. Dolph Ziggler showed up, guys. Nick Nemeth is now officially in TNA, Total Nonstop Action, and that is exciting. Everyone was wondering where Nick Nemeth was going to show up. I personally thought he was going to show up in AEW, be unmasked as the devil. I don't know why Tony Khan didn't think that was a good idea, but hey, he didn't, so TNA gets him. Exciting. Nick Nemeth, oh my god, he's got so much potential. If you guys haven't seen that, like, thing that he did, I think, is it just called Wanted Man? That, like, skit that he did? He posted it on Ryan Nemeth's YouTube. Let's go check what it's called. Wanted Man, yeah, that's what it is. So, Dolph's, or Nick Nemeth's new gimmick, it's gonna be hard not calling him Dolph, let's be honest, it's gonna be really difficult. He did, like, a little skit called Wanted Man, and it was so, just, like, you wouldn't have seen it coming. It's literally just a little skit ripping off, like, old 80s movies. He's locked in the back of a cop car, and there's zombies, and he super kicks a zombie's head off. It's so goofy and crazy, but it was very cool. And it's very awesome to see Nick Nemeth out and about doing things, actually getting bookings, actually getting shown to the world, because holy shit is he good. Everybody knows how amazing he was as Dolph Ziggler. You know, WWE clearly didn't see it that way. They gave him a push in, like, 2012, and then that's about it. He got a concussion, and then boom, we're not doing shit with you anymore. Very unfortunate how things went between them, but WWE has a history of hiring a bunch of people and not using them to their full potential, letting them go so that they can blossom, and that is what Nick Nemeth is looking to do in TNA. I think it's going to go very well. His whole Wanted Man persona, I think, is going to be a big draw. I cannot wait to see him and Matt Cardona face off. That has to be every indie booker's dream match in 2024. If you are an indie booker and you have the money, book those two, make them fight. You will get publicity. People will watch your shit. I'm sure that's going to be, like, the most overseen match in independent pro wrestling in 2024. Not complaining. We all wanted to see that match in, like, 2011, so here we are in 2024. A whole 13 years later, and we're probably going to get to see it in every state in America. Maybe some provinces in Canada. Hopefully, that would be cool. But yeah, Nick Nemeth's in TNA now. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to keep letting him do indie bookings too. I don't imagine he would go from WWE and then go exclusively to one company immediately. I know TNA does their tapings, like they record a bunch of shit ahead of time. I mean, I think a lot of their wrestlers do indie stuff too. I don't know for sure. Like I said, I don't watch TNA simply because I fucking can't. I don't have the ability to. So yeah, Dana Brooke, Dolph Ziggler in TNA, Jungle Boy is in New Japan. A lot of people are going a lot of places, and it's very interesting. We're going to talk a bit about more free agents here coming up soon, but we do have two more news/rumors. This is, of course, Dirt Sheet speak. I got these articles from Ringside News, which is maybe not the most trustable source of information, but hey, they do what they can. So, the Collision taping they did this past Friday, I would say, there was a sheet handed out of instructions for the venue itself, and what they were doing in these instructions is pretty interesting. So I will read partially through the whole thing. I will read through the instructions given out. So event specific information: reserve seating, all seats were reserved, most seating is on the southeast side. That's funny. That's the side the hard cam would show. Section 101 to 103 have a few tickets out there. have a few tickets out that are show comps. So they're comping tickets, of course. There'll be a few people with green wristbands in season section 101. These are seat fillers, escorted to seating arenas areas when needed filled. Funny as hell. They have no privileges for any other area. No one should be in a section except for show personnel. So it's just going on listing instructions. No one on the floor unless they have a floor ticket. Blah, blah, blah. Boring stuff. Backstage areas and access. Big Blue Room is used as catering for tonight. It's literally listing like everything. Like this is like a whole fucking thing. No one should be backstage unless they are working. Do not use North Hallway as a cut-through. Cameras, some instructions there. Now, here is where it gets fun. We are going to talk about signs. What signs are banned and what signs there are rules against. So signs are permitted. No profanity, graphic images, oversized. So, you know, pretty standard. Derogatory signs. Those also are not allowed. No blank signs, no sticks or poles, and no signs mentioning Kylie Rae, Chris Jericho in a negative light, or Chris Jericho and Kylie Rae. Oh my God. Well, you know there's going to be signs mentioning that. But that is very funny that this document made it out. Once again, can't confirm if this is a legitimate document. I mean, like, it looks legitimate, but it's not that hard to pull that off nowadays. Obviously, we all know the stories of the whole Kylie Rae, Chris Jericho thing. I haven't talked about it on the show before, but, I mean, if you're into wrestling, if you're involved in it, if you're a fan of it, I'm sure you've been on Twitter, and I'm sure you've seen what's been happening between Kylie Rae and Chris Jericho. Obviously, some allegations going out towards Jericho, where he was trying to essentially get his way with Kylie Rae. Very not good. Jericho's been, you know, a punching bag in the, you know, internet wrestling community for a couple weeks now. Rightfully so. Not cool, Jericho. I mean, obviously, these are just allegations, but hey, I don't know. I'm not going to shit on the man. I don't know for sure, but if it is true, then yes, he definitely deserves all the negative attention he's getting. But it's the one thing I can't believe with this whole Chris Jericho, Kylie Rae situation is the fact that Tony Khan does not give a fuck. Like, literally, they did a show the day that all these things were coming out, and I think somebody asked him, and he's just like, I'm not commenting on it. Like, we're not going there. Like, dude, if you were Vince, like, you'd probably fire the fucking man. Like, I remember when Enzo got his allegations against him that were proven false, they fired him, like, immediately. Like, there was no explaining yourself, no second chance, and nothing. You got fuck all. And I mean, I know Enzo had, like, backstage heat and stuff. They just kind of wanted to get rid of him anyway. Fair enough, I guess. But, you know, not cool in the same vein. I think the same thing happened with Velveteen Dream, although I don't know if he was really proven innocent. I mean, I think he likes to say he was, but I don't know about that one. I saw the chat logs, dude. Take a seat. But yeah, the whole Jericho Kylie Rae situation, it's a mess, but, you know, I hope for the best for everyone involved. I hope Jericho wasn't really doing that bad of things, but we never know. We'll never know for sure. I can't wait till Jericho's Dark Side of the Ring episode comes out, honestly. But yeah, that's what was leaked for instructions for the AEW Collision show. They are banning all anti-Jericho signs, just trying to cover it up as much as they can. I think that's really the worst thing here. Now, if Jericho actually did the things that are being said that he did, that's definitely the worst thing. But I think the worst thing on top of that, like probably the second worst thing, is the fact that AEW is just not acknowledging it, not putting out any statements about it, not like suspending Jericho for any amount of time. He's on TV every week and they're piping in fucking cheers. Like, they're not even acknowledging it. That's kind of the craziest thing. Like, has these legitimate accusations. It's just crazy how they're not even acknowledging the damn shit. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see how they're doing that, how they're not making any sort of statements. Like, they're just kind of hoping it'll blow over. But if somebody did something, like, bad, then why, you know, it would be tough to deal with, sure, like from Tony Khan's perspective, but like you have to deal with it. You know, I think this whole thing actually started because Jericho was talking, trying to make himself relevant for half a minute. He said he never signed an NDA in his life, referring to the whole Punk Jungle Boy situation, because it was said that Punk has like a lifelong NDA. He can't talk about what happened with Jungle Boy, their backstage beef. Jericho's like, I've never signed an NDA in my life. I was in the room. But then I guess from that, it's like, you probably signed an NDA over this. There was like a podcast that talked about it, the whole Kyle Ray situation. It's such a shit show. But at the end of the day, just be a good person. Don't try to have your way with people, and you're good. The last thing for news and rumors today is about the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. Apparently, he is set to skip multiple premium live events in 2024. This isn't really news. This is just kind of what he does. He is working the Roman Reigns schedule. So we're actually getting a word from our boy, Dave Meltzer. Everybody loves Meltzer. Meltzer says, I think it was Meltzer that said this, was it not? Yeah, it was Meltzer. So Roman Reigns is not at the Australia show, so that's Elimination Chamber. He's not on the Paris show, Backlash, either, by the way, for fans over there. Roman's going to be wrestling at the Rumble, and then his next big match, he could do a TV match, but he's going to wrestle at the Rumble, and then his next match is going to be his WrestleMania match. After that, I would presume it's going to be Saudi and SummerSlam. So Roman Reigns looking to not show up, as he does. You know, not surprising. Obviously, Reigns is going to be defending his title against Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and LA Knight at the Royal Rumble coming up January 27th. He's going to win that because, you know, we're going into Mania. How many days has Roman Reigns had the title? I don't know how the best way to go about finding that. Universal Championship. I just want to get the exact amount of days. I want to look at who is the top for the longest reigns. Okay, so this is combined. This is not what I want. I think the problem is that they keep switching up the names. Like, I'm trying to find out, like, I'm trying to pull up a Wikipedia article showing how long Reigns was champ and how long, like, you know, I'm looking for, like, longest reigning champs. Because obviously, he's getting to the top of that list. I think he's, like, behind maybe three people. But it's confusing the way they did it, because he had, like, the Universal belt for a bit, he had the WWE belt, put them together, so they're making that a combined reign, but Wikipedia is not acknowledging that. The only thing that I'm finding here, so it looks like combined reigns, if we're going, I'm on the WWE Universal Championship site, Wikipedia page, whatever, so it says that Roman Reigns has had two reigns of the belt, combined days, he's had 1,296 as Universal Champion, but there's only been like 8 Universal Champions, because that's a new belt. He didn't have the main belt before, which is causing lots of confusion as far as record books go, and it's very annoying. He's been champion for too long. He's been champion for over 1,000 days. Nobody's done that in recent time. But yeah, he's not doing shows. That's basically what it comes down to. He's missing out a lot of 2024. Not surprising. That is just what he does. But coming into Mania, like, obviously, he's not losing at the Rumble. He's winning the belt in the Fatal 4-Way. I don't know what they're going to do at Mania for the rest of the guys that are there. I mean, there's always the possibility of Damian Priest cashing in or something along those lines too, but I don't see that happening. The main event segment, I'm actually going to be talking about how I think they should book Damian Priest's cash in. But as of right now, Reigns is wrestling at the Rumble, then Mania, then probably the Saudi show and SummerSlam. That's it. Not surprising. Will he lose the belt in that time? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, because I think they want him to beat Hogan's record. I think that's kind of what they're going for. I think Hogan's record, see, it's so difficult to find this information. Okay, Hogan held the belt for 1,474 days. That was his reign. So they're probably going to make him beat that. And if Reigns is currently at, Well, see, it says 651 because that's how long he's had the world belt. It's ridiculous. It says Roman Reigns has had the combined the WWE Championship for 769 days plus. That's it. It doesn't say anything about, you know. This is combined reigns, too. I can't find the single reigns article. I don't know if there is that. But if they're counting Reigns' current reign as 1,200 whatever days, Hogan's is at 1,400 something days, I say he's not going to lose the belt till he beats Hogan's record. I mean, it's really close. He will not beat San Martino's record, I don't think. I fucking hope not, because he would have to hold the belt for, what is it, 7 years? He's already held it for like 3, if not 4. Yeah, it's getting to ridiculous territory now, but, you know, I'm with it. It's going to be a big deal when someone beats him. I think it'll happen at Mania. Honestly, I kind of feel that way, but at the same time, Hogan's record's right around the corner after Mania, so it might be SummerSlam. But then you think, oh, why would they make him lose it at SummerSlam and not at Mania? So we could be waiting until Mania of next year to see him lose the belt, which is terrifying. Anyway, let's go on to the second segment of the week. We're going to be talking about some free agents of 2024 and where they might end up. This segment might be a bit of a short one because I literally only have 3 names that I really want to talk about, and 2 of them kind of connect. We're actually going to start there. So we're going to talk about Trinity, or Naomi, as she's known in WWE. A lot of people think that at Hard to Kill, the pay-per-view TNA just did over the weekend, that she gave her final goodbye. She did her bow. She left. Now, I've heard conflicting reports here that that was her actually leaving, her contract's up. I've heard other articles indicating that she actually has a few matches left on her deal. Her deal's not up. I don't know for sure. I could definitely see her showing up in the Women's Rumble, though. Honestly, I think she had a good run in TNA. She had the belt for 100-something days, I think. Good reign there. I think it's time for her to go home. I think it's time for her to go back to WWE now that it's under better management. I think that's the case. And I think one indicator of this, now this might not be an indicator. It might just be friends showing support, but Sasha Banks and Bayley, Mercedes Moné and Bayley were both at Naomi's match at TNA this past weekend for support. They were trying to cover themselves up and disguise themselves. They failed miserably. There's pictures of them online. They're obviously in attendance. You know, Mercedes Moné is there. Obviously, she's a good friend of both Bayley and Trinity or Naomi. I get that it could just be there for support. But Mercedes Moné is also a free agent in 2024. We know this. So where is she going to end up? Now, apparently, there's a whole lot of rumors going on about Mercedes Moné, where she's going to end up. I don't really buy into a lot of it. A lot of people are like, oh, she's been talking to AEW. Oh, she's not talking to AEW. Oh, she's talking to WWE. Oh, she's not talking to WWE. I think it would be good business for WWE to bring her back. Obviously, she's a big name. Mercedes Moné, maybe not, but Sasha Banks, for sure. Obviously, she was going to show up in, what was it? Was it Stardom she was going to show up in? Signed a deal. I don't remember which company it was. One of the Japan companies. She signed up, signed a deal, and then got hurt, I think. Like, she had like maybe 2 or 3 matches and then got hurt. I'm assuming the deal's up there. A lot of people are reporting that she's a free agent. That maybe, hopefully that's the case. I think it would be good business for WWE to bring her in. Once again, she's a big name. One of the biggest names they've had in the past couple years. And obviously, when she left the company, they weren't treating her the best. They gave her a title and didn't do anything with it. Like, here, have the women's tag titles. We're just not going to book you now. Obviously, they've done some improvements on the women's tag team titles. They're currently being featured on a week-to-week basis. Storylines, kind of. No, they're not the most exciting belts to have, but I mean, hey, it kind of comes down to who has them and what they're doing. Like, for example, right now, I think it's Katana Chance and Caden Carter have the women's tag team titles, and I'm not the biggest fan of them. I don't really like modern NXT people, period. I don't like the way they're booked coming into the main roster, because it's almost like WWE thinks that you watch NXT when they bring in people from NXT, but nobody really watches NXT nowadays, so it's kind of strange how they do that. They don't really do a proper introduction. It's just, hey, here's these two people who do big flashy moves and are probably injury prone. Like, it's ridiculous. But, you know, it comes down to who has the belts at the time. Like, when Chelsea Green was doing her thing, she originally had the belts with, I think it was Sonya. Then Sonya got hurt, so she started teaming with Piper Niven. I didn't hate them as champs. They're still kind of chasing them, but there's not much competition in the women's tag team division right now. It's just not really a thing, which, you know, maybe that could be improved upon. That would be nice. WWE likes saying that, you know, we're doing a lot for our women. We have a great women's division. I'm kind of not seeing that right now. The women's division in WWE right now is not great. You see the same names all the time, doing the same things all the time. You see Rhea Ripley, the biggest name they have right now as far as women go, and she's not even doing matches. She's doing shit with Judgment Day. She's coming out for Dom Dom's matches and doing backstage segments and not wrestling. She's had the women's title for God knows how long, and she's defended it like maybe twice. It's kind of ridiculous how they're treating Rhea Ripley right now, and women as a whole. It's like they have so many good women, and yes, a lot of them are getting utilized, but like I said, it's the same ones that are always getting utilized. Like, you got Zoe Stark going out there, you got Becky Lynch going out there when she's around. Like, you know, Nia Jax shows up occasionally. Chelsea and Piper Niven are always doing the tag title thing. It's just, it's kind of bland, kind of boring. Of course, damage control is a thing that just keep getting members added to it. Like, we got 5 members in damage control now. We don't need that. There's never going to be another 5 women team for them to fight. Like, that's so many women doing the same thing. Like, why not have Bayley, Io, and fucking Dakota damage control? Have Asuka and Kairi go do the fucking Kabuki Warriors thing again. Like, that was cool. Have them fight Chelsea and fucking Piper. There you go. You got a match. You got a fucking rivalry. You got a pay-per-view. Like, do that. We don't need a 5-woman group where none of them are getting utilized other than fucking Io and Bayley. Like, we don't need that. You know, I think they're setting up for damage control to split pretty soon anyway. But in either case, it's a little much. We're really going off on tangents here. We were talking about Mercedes Moné and got to fucking damage control. So yes, I would like Mercedes Moné to come back. I would like Naomi to come back. I think they could both do that. Hell, they could come back and be a team. That's kind of what they were doing when they left. Maybe they could just step back in and do the exact same thing. No, I wouldn't want that for either of them. I want them both to get more of a spotlight. Here are my requests, though. Sasha Banks, come back, make her a fucking heel, make her good, but don't make her just to chase the fucking title. Make her have good matches and good feuds and good stories. That's what I want. When Naomi comes back, don't give her the fucking glow gimmick again. We do not need that. Give her something else. Give her, you know, I think she was kind of doing the glow thing in TNA too, though. So I don't know. I guess she's just all about that shit. Make her do something serious. Like, glow is ridiculous. We don't need that. It was so overdone, so overplayed. Like, I like that she was doing, like, right before glow, like when she was in fucking Team Bad with, funny enough, Sasha. Like, you know, she was just a serious wrestler and she was good. It wasn't just all, here, put your face in my ass and I'm glow in the dark. Like, it was more than that. That's what we want. As for other free agents right now, obviously there's probably a couple that got fired from WWE that aren't doing anything right now. We're not going to talk about them. Like Rick Boogs, for example, I think he pretty much just said the other day that he's just not wrestling anymore. That's unfortunate. I actually liked Rick Boogs. He had a great personality, amazing fucking build, almost too big, if you ask me. Not roids, I don't think, but holy shit, dude was a brick. Rick Boogs is great. I don't want him to not wrestle again. I think WWE kind of fucked up firing him because they never capitalized on him, like, at all. Him and Shinsuke were doing a thing for a bit, and that was cool. It was just kind of, hey, Shinsuke's song has guitar in it. I play guitar. let's be a team. It was goofy, but it was working. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about the free agents that are just kind of squandering right now, not doing shit. You know, if Dana Brooke can get booked in TNA, anybody can get booked. But we're going to talk about MJF. Now, he's been talking for years now about the bidding war of 2024. I think that's been a thing ever since he really signed with AEW. Like, once he started getting traction, it was the bidding war of 2024. Now, he's done up to January 1st. He got hurt, quote-unquote. He's dealing with a fucked-up hip, fucked-up shoulder, taking time off AEW. Now, listen, if there was a way to write off MJF, that would be the way to do it. Will he be returning to AEW to continue feuding with Adam Cole? I don't know. I kind of hope not. AEW is a hurting unit in so many ways right now. I don't know what Adam Cole is going to do if MJF does not return. I don't know why they would set that up knowing that MJF is going to need some time off. I honestly think that was just a way to get MJF out of the company. The easiest way they could do it. Have Adam Cole come back, closure on that story. Adam Cole is still hurt as far as I know, so him coming out and saying, I'm the devil, seems rushed. If MJF was going to stay, I feel like they would have probably waited until, you know, they could finally get that payoff. So, there's two ways this story can go. It's either MJF is actually hurt and he'll probably end up going back with AEW, or he'll realize what a catastrophic state of affairs AEW is right now and figure, hey, I'm going to jump over to WWE. Of course they would take me in a heartbeat and they'll probably give me millions of dollars. I don't know what you would pick in that situation, but I would definitely go with the Fed, the WWE. MJF for the Rumble, I think that could be interesting. I think that would be a good debut for him. Give him, like, you know, not number one or number two, give him probably like a later number, but, you know, give him enough spotlight in that match where people are like, holy shit, he's actually here. Make him go to like final two, final three. Fuck. Okay, say for example, Cody wins the Rumble, right? Make it come down to MJF and Cody. That is something I'd like to see. Let them do the whole Cody Gunther thing they did last year, where it's just fucking like a 30-minute match at the end of a Rumble. MJF and Cody, because they have the history. It would make perfect sense to do it. It would let, well, Cody's obviously going to win the Rumble if he gets to that point. But, you know, it would give MJF a platform to be like, hey, I did that. I am that fucking good. I am MJF. I'm better than you and you know it. Blah, blah, blah. Money. Printing money. Like, perfect. MJF can go on and fight fucking Gunther at Mania, take the Intercontinental title, or go on to Mania and fight Logan Paul, take the US title. You know, lots of options there. MJF should not be, if he does come in, he's obviously not going to be main event right away. I don't expect it, but I do expect it down the road for sure. Everybody would expect that because he is really good. He's really talented. He has the fucking promo skill. He has the ring work. He has the build. He has everything that you could need. So yes, I hope that MJF will come to WWE. Honestly, you know, I know not everyone's going to come to WWE. I don't know if, like, I listed three free agents, and I'm like, hey, they're all going to come to WWE. I don't know. Maybe they'll stay where they are. Maybe they'll keep doing what they're doing. But it could work for all of them. It's just, you know, booking is the most important thing. Speaking of booking, let's go to the main event segment of the week. We are going to cover how I'd book Damian Priest's Money in the Bank cash-in. So I have it set up from tonight, which I'm recording this on Monday. I don't know what's going to happen on Raw. I'm going to try to get this out Monday, but no promises. So we are covering essentially from Raw to Mania. That's spoiler alert, but that's where we're going. So let's start it off. So tonight on Raw, we have a few matches that are already announced, one of which is DIY, Ciampa and Gargano versus Dominik and JD. Their tag team match, DIY clearly want tag team titles, so they're trying to, you know, beat up all the members of Judgment Day until they can get to Finn and Priest. So DIY defeats Dominik and JD, obviously, and then in the main event of Raw, Seth Rollins is going to be fighting Jinder Mahal for his World Heavyweight Championship. We're going to see Jinder win. No, absolutely not. Seth retains his belt on Raw. Another Cashin is teased. Dominic comes out with the Money in the Bank briefcase, cashes in, wins the belt. No. Damian Priest comes out probably with, like, you know, other members of Judgment Day. Like, it's going to be probably him and Finn. Maybe Dom shows up too. Who knows? But they are thwarted by DIY. So the cashin does not go through. Seth Rollins probably gets on the mic and is like, hey, don't fucking cash in on me every fucking week, dude. I can't be doing this shit. And then they're going to set up for a match at the Rumble where it's Judgment Day versus the team of Seth Rollins and DIY. So the Judgment Day for this match would probably be Priest, Finn, and Dom. I would say that's probably the best bet. Winner take all. That's how the match is going to be booked at Rumble. So Judgment Day has the tag titles. Rollins has the heavyweight title. Priest convinces the rest of Judgment Day, like Rhea, Finn, convinces all of them, hey, this is a good idea because we're going to win all the gold. Rhea has the women's title. We got the tag titles. We're going to have the heavyweight title. Let's do it. So Judgment Day versus Rollins and DIY at the Rumble. Winner take all. Rollins and DIY win. Rhea is mad at the boys and threatens a breakup. No gold in the Judgment Day other than Rhea's title. Rhea's dealing with her own shit. Whoever wins the Rumble, the women's Rumble, is probably going to be coming after her. Rollins and DIY got all the gold. Judgment Day is just kind of on their ass for a bit. So Punk comes out the Raw after Royal Rumble and challenges Rollins for a title match at WrestleMania, because obviously that's where they're going to go. I personally don't think Punk's going to win the Rumble. I don't think that would be in anyone's best interest. I think Cody wins it 2 years in a row. We'll see how that goes. Punk could win the Rumble as well. It definitely could be interchangeable. But in either case, they're going to set up for Punk and Rollins at Mania. So obviously, you know, various matches and segments leading up to Punk and Rollins at Mania. It's going to be a good feud. We all know it's going to be a good feud. Judgment Day, all the while, keeps quiet. Maybe starting some small feuds here and there. Maybe beating up R-Truth on every episode of Raw. Who knows? So, Mania comes around, finally. We got past Elimination Chamber, whatever happens there. But Priest is not worried about cashing in right now. He knows he has time. It's quiet. We get to Mania. Seth versus Punk, main events, WrestleMania Night 1. In the end, CM Punk wins the match. Punk is the World Heavyweight Champion. He main evented WrestleMania. It's all he ever wanted to do, and he won the belt. And then fucking Damian Priest comes out. He cashes in his briefcase after Punk just had a long-ass, grueling match with Seth Rollins. And Damian Priest loses the match. He needed to get it back for Judgment Day. He needed to get their trust back again. He needed to get Mommy back on his side. But he fucked up. Damian loses his briefcase. The third person to lose when cashing in, I think. Or it'd be third or fourth. Nah, it'd be fourth, because fucking Austin Theory lost last year. Man, maybe they don't make Damian lose. It's kind of interchangeable. I mean, like, he could win the belt there. I don't think Priest is ready for the World Heavyweight title. He might be. I don't think they're going to do it. I think Punk holds the belt for a little bit. And of course, you know, Damian loses. Judgment Day's fallen, man. There's nothing else they can do. So they implode after Mania. Whether, you know, Rhea just makes the boys go after Damian, or they all just leave and do their own things. Who knows? But I think that's how we got to do it, folks. Let me know how you guys think about Damian Priest's cash-in idea. I think it kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, I came up with it in like a few minutes, so I mean, it could use work. But I think that's how they book it. But let me know what you guys think. Let me know, how do you think Damian Priest's cash-in is going to go? When do you think he's going to do it? Do you think he's going to be the first person ever to have the contract expire? That's an idea. That could happen. Let me know what you guys think. Like I mentioned, I am on social media at This Is Dilly. Instagram, TikTok, everywhere. Hope you guys did enjoy the first episode of Ring the Bell, a pro wrestling podcast. If you did, make sure to like, follow, subscribe, whatever platform you're on, do all the good things. Like, share it around. Let everyone know how you feel. I, of course, have been your host. As always, This Is Dilly, signing out.